Okay, guys, welcome back. Episode 6. And if I'm being honest, it should be a really good one. All right, stay tuned. All right, and welcome back. Welcome back. Yay! Woo! So today we actually have a great friend joining us today. Surprise.
Hello.
Today we're going to do something that I think many of you know called the Vogue 73 questions. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to ask me 73 questions and I'm going to try to answer them in the best way I can. Some of them seem very interesting. So again, my friend, her name is...
Hello everyone, it's Anais! So special.
Hi, thank you for coming. We have been talking about doing something like this for a little bit of...
We sure have.
Yeah, we have. So I'm happy that today you decided to say, hey, get your life.
Let's do it.
Let's do this together.
I'm happy to be the first guest.
Yes, right?
I'm excited.
Okay, so this is episode 6.
That's crazy. I have good questions.
You do?
I have some good questions.
I'm a little scared.
I don't have 73.
You know? That's probably...
But I got enough.
You have... Okay, so that's probably okay. But before we start with that, tell us a little bit about you.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I will start with this. I'm from New York City. I feel like every New Yorker you meet will start their introduction with that because...
Why not? I mean, that's a thing. It's a thing. It's a place.
It's who I am.
Exactly.
It is what it is. Let's see. I am a makeup lover. I'm going to do a little guilty, shameless plug right here.
Shameless plug.
AR Beauté by Anais. You can follow me on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok.
Yes.
If you want some hacks, some makeup hacks.
I will make sure I'll put that in the comment section.
Love it. You know, mm-hmm. I have to do my little shameless plug.
Absolutely.
Let's see. What else? I don't know.
What else?
What would you call us? Soul sisters?
We are definitely soulmates.
Yes.
Definitely soulmates. So Anais and I met probably 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, she probably met me... at the time I was having my own business.
Yep.
So I was doing the Medi Spa thing. And I think she met me probably right at the moment that I decided that a spiritual journey was going to be my forever. Mm-hmm. She hadn't realized it yet, but I knew it.
Well, do you remember the first thing you told me when I walked in? We hadn't even introduced... We hadn't even met. Like, I hadn't even said, hi, I'm Anais. You hadn't said, like, hi, I'm Malik. I walk in, you're in the kitchen, I walk in, and you immediately say, because you had... Someone was there. I forget who was there, but you were doing a facial on someone else.
Okay.
And they...
Oh, I did have another...
Door.
Client there. I remember mm-hmm. this. Yes.
So I walk in and the first thing you say is like, wow, like you have such strong energy. And I was like, what does that mean?
I have no idea what you're talking about because I don't...
You
remember
don't remember this?
This? Not at all.
Oh my God. I remember it was yesterday. Like you're at the stove and you turn around and you go, wow, like you have such strong energy.
Wow.
And at first I was like, what does that mean? And you were like, it means it's strong. I was like, is that a good thing or
right.
bad thing? But yeah, that's the first thing you've ever said to me.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Got me at a loss here. I don't remember it, but I do remember how, you know, meeting you made me feel. I do remember that. I felt immediately at home with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when Anais became a client of mine, I had closed my spa.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to do treatments in the sunroom in my home at this time. So I was only helping very specific clientele. So she came from another very good referral,
mm-hmm.
Ebony, which we will meet her at some point as
Woo!
Well. Whoop, whoop. Okay, so yeah. So at that time, I was only taking like very special, in my opinion, special clientele, because it was in my home, right? So you know, you want to keep that area like as sacred as possible. But it didn't depreciate the level of service.
That's right.
Because I was in there making like vegan biscuits and
girl. I used to fall asleep in the chair.
Yes, you mm-hmm. did. So, I mean, so that's how we met. And so, yes, honestly, from the moment I remember meeting you, I did feel a sense of home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something very, I recognized you.
Right.
You know, like, my soul.
Like, safe. Like
exactly.
A safe space.
So, I appreciate that. You know, because I don't think you meet people like that very often. I don't.
No, never. Right? Not at all. And I barely talk to people. I don't talk to people when I'm out. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I fumble over my words if I don't know you. It's not a good situation.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I can get that. You're also a Cancer.
I am.
Very familiar energy as well, because I'm a Cancer.
You look at me the wrong way and I will burst out into tears.
Well, that's not the Cancer that I am, but I do understand. I do understand. I do understand that. My daughter is probably like that, I think. Yeah. She's, yeah, same idea.
The well, old, you said where you, I always remind you of her.
So, absolutely. Right? Even the way that you may approach a situation, the way that you approach it, it reminds me of Taylor so much.
That's crazy. Because I never meet people who are exactly like me.
Right.
Like, ever. No. And now all of a sudden I've turned out all these people that I can relate to.
Well, I mean, that's where we're going as a, right. on a collective. Are you... We are tasked with finding our soul tribe, our soul family, you know. So if you haven't yet met anyone, I'm pretty sure they're falling out the woodworks these days, right?
Right.
All right, so let's get into our 70, well, not quite 73 questions or 76.
Listen, if I, the way you and I talk, if we did 73 questions, we'd be here until tomorrow.
This is true.
So
this is so, yeah, the world is not ready for that type of conversation. This right. can go like on for like 9 days.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Okay. Alrighty. Let's kick it off.
All right.
What is your name?
My name is Malaika.
Do you know what your name means?
My name, interestingly enough, it means angel in Swahili and queen. And queen in Arabic.
What? Mm-hmm. That is so powerful.
Angel in Swahili, right?
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
I feel like that is so fitting.
My mother didn't even know.
I was going to... That was going to be the first question. No. Did she know?
She did not know. My mother said that... Well, from what I understand, and I could be wrong, so I will verify this with her. But I remember having a conversation with her about the origin of my name, and she said... My mother was an avid reader.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she came across a book... And one of the characters in the book, her name was Malaika, or either he named his daughter Malaika mm-hmm. or something like that. So then she just like just fell stuck. In love with the name. Yep.
Huh. I like that.
That's what I was told.
It's very like light and dainty, which I like.
The name Malaika?
Yes. Like it flows off the tongue.
Now, I have not met another African-American Malaika when mm-hmm. I meet. Malaikas, they are of Indian descent.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. one of my good friends, her name is Malaika.
Mm-hmm.
But, yep.
I'm sure there are African-American Malaikas. Right. I'm pretty sure. But where they are, I don't know, girl. I need to meet you, though.
Right. Okay. Who, before I even ask this question, so if you have taken Malaika's coaching, you will know the first question she asks is, who are you authentically?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm flipping the script.
Damn.
Who are you? Authentically.
You know? And so, you're right. If you have taken any of my coachings, that's the first question. And it's always the one that kind of leaves people kind of like breathless. Like, you know? And then I find that, you know, you're answering the question based on what you think the person who's going to read the answer wants to.
Mm-hmm.
What you think they want to know. I don't know. Whatever. So, the best question, the best answer I have for that question is I'm consistent.
I like that.
Authentically or consistent. Like I think that no matter when you meet me, where you meet me, who you're with, whatever the circumstance, I'm always going to be me. So the same face that I have, the same goofiness, the same very frankness sometimes,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit, I don't know, some people say it's a little bitchy or whatever the case is, but I'm always the same person, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't really cut too many corners. You know, and so because of that, I can always just be me. And I find it to be the best way to be.
I like it. Yep. Look at that. Consistency.
Consistent.
It's key.
Yes.
All right. So you have a very interesting story. I'm going to assume everyone who's listening now has listened to the first episode. But if they haven't, tell me a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are right now.
Okay. My journey has been... So... If you've met me, let's say in my 20s, right? Those who know me know that I probably was one of your weird friends. Like mm-hmm. that friend that literally has tried everything. except for drugs. I was never a drug person. Like, yeah. I never even, like, smoked cigarettes. It was, like, not my thing. So mm-hmm. I was not into, like, those things. But, like, I didn't need anything to help me to release my inhibitions. Like, those type of things. If I did that, I would probably be jumping off a bridge somewhere.
Release my inhibitions.
I was always that friend that you could literally count on to surprise you. Mm-hmm. If you say, hey, what'd you do yesterday? I'm like, girl. So I think my journey always started with understanding that, you know, I had a different walk.
Okay.
You know, and I was okay with it. I was okay being like that quirky person or that person that someone would, you know, give me the eyebrows like, you did what? You know, mm-hmm. kind of felt judged about it. You know, those type of things. And I realized I was just different in that way. And I was okay with it. So I think my journey has been a bunch of those things, like a yeah. bunch of me just trying to figure out what's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And even with this whole spiritual walk, you know, you do have to do this sometimes alone. Mm-hmm. So I've always just been. So if I'm being honest, I can say that my journey, my spiritual journey, with me awakening on this journey probably didn't happen until 2017, like I mentioned on the first podcast episode. But prior to that, I've been approaching something like this several times,
mm-hmm.
you know, just several different ways and not really knowing exactly what I was aligning to, but kind of feeling like it was something there and I had to figure it out. You know, I've never been a person not to turn the doorknob. You know, if there was a door in front of me, I'm going to turn the knob, I'm going to peek in. You know, for whatever reason. If I like it, I love it, I'm with it. If I don't, I'll close the door.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I've, I think if, how can I say that? Is it summed up? I feel like I was like rambling a little bit.
No, I think that makes sense. So would you say that point in 2017 was the biggest turning point in your life?
I would say it was only because that's when I decided that it made sense for me to look at my health mm-hmm. as a way of wealth. Right. So yeah. I went on this whole crazy, not diet, but like this whole health binge, you know, looking at what I was eating, looking at what I was taking in mentally. I started meditating every day, religiously every day, you know. Also, like I mentioned, like the raw veganism, you know, and then like looking for clarity in those type of things. So, yeah, I would say me approaching those things, just knowing that there was something more, something better, and just trying to be the better part of me was the beginning of my journey.
I love that.
Definitely.
So now you talk about the dog, if you hear this.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Trying to get comfortable. Okay, we'll let you finish. Go
ahead. Yeah, go ahead. We'll just wait. Okay. You done?
Good? Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. So, you talk about Kevin
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Ooh, Kevin.
Talk about meeting him mm-hmm. 2017. How does it feel to have him in your corner all the time?
I think it's something that you get used to. I find that in the beginning, I found it to be a little bit odd, only because I hadn't met anyone who had a Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I've met people who maybe spoke to their, like, they would say things like, oh, this person got the Holy Ghost,
right.
or they have a spiritual covering, maybe their ancestors, they feel like their grandmother was, you know, kind of helping them along. So I've met people who've used that type of language before, but I don't think it's like a Kevin, you know, like in my mind, I can't really associate it with Kevin. It's interesting because he is definitely a person who is linked to my higher self, right? Mm-hmm. So, right, wrong, or indifferent, he is always there, and he's always willing to tell me the truth about a million different things and people, right? So I always feel like I'm being a little nosy,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to be, because it's not even like I'm trying. It's like I'll get things about people
right.
based on him. Like, he'll come and say, hey, ask about this, you know, and I'm like, ooh.
So does it make, like, do you feel like it makes, well, okay, so, right, so you hadn't met him until 2017, so you live full, like, a bunch of years. I'm not trying to age you.
I'm old.
You're not old. I realized how that came out after I said it. You know, sometimes you just say things, and you're like, ah, shit, that sounds so freaking bad.
I get it.
That sounds so freaking bad. But you live, you have experience of life. You've gone through major milestones without Kevin.
Yes.
So now that you're continuing to go through the next batch of major milestones in your life, do you feel like life is you can manage and navigate through life easier now that you have Kevin in your corner kind of telling you right from wrong. Does that like influence the changes, the decisions that you choose to make, so to speak?
Well, you know what? I think now that you say it in that way, I will say that I think Kevin has always been there. Right. And I don't think that I was discerning his voice at that time. I don't, because I can look at things that I've done that to me could only happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't, it just, like anybody can tell you, like, my life is just very, very interesting. So, all right. So even the way I purchased like my first home,
mm-hmm.
you know, just turning my television on and looking at an ad come across the screen and hearing very clear, call this number. Now, up until that point, not even wanting to own a home. It wasn't even a thing for me. I did not want to own a home at that time. But a number came across the screen and they were building these new homes in this area in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, cool, let me just call this number. And the young lady picks up the phone and she's like, hey, we're showing models today. You need to come by. And I'm like, oh, cool. Again, I probably had, girl, my credit was jacked. So me even looking to buy a home at that time was retarded. But I remember feeling a nudge, like call.
Interesting.
You know, just call this number. So long story short, I go to this place where they're showing these homes. And she's like, well, that lot right there is empty, but we're going to start building on it soon.
Mm-hmm.
You give us $1,000 check and we will just, you know, we'll basically, it's like a, I don't, earnest money is what they call it, yeah. right? You put the earnest money down and then we'll start this whole process.
What?
So I said, cool. Now, mind you, I think in my checking account, I may have had $77, but it didn't stop me from writing the check for $1,000.
Right.
So I write this check and I hand it to her and I go home and I was married at the time. And I told my then husband, like, yeah, so I went to see this house up in Havity Grace in Maryland or whatever. And I put a check on this lot for $1,000. And he's like, he starts laughing. And he's like, what? Now, I'm probably 27 at this time, 26, 27. Mm-hmm. So he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, listen, I mean, this is what happened. I had no intentions on buying this home. It was just something that I felt called to do.
Right.
Well, long story short, when we closed...
Wow. When
30 days close. I want to know we closed 90 probably almost like 6 months because mm-hmm. it took that it's long to get the house to be built and all that. So about 6 months later when we closed and we sat down at the title company and the lady pushes my $1,000 check back towards me and then gives me a overpayment of $7,500. We walk into this house not paying zero.
Wait, what?
Listen to me.
How does that even happen?
Listen to me. She's handed me back my check that they never cashed. And they handed me over $7,500 in an overpayment. They had found me so many... No down payment, no closing costs, nothing. I went into the house with zero money. Zero.
So, okay, so let's back up.
Uh-huh.
So if I were to try to pull some shit like that, the way my mind works, I'd be like, damn, when they try to cash this damn check with this $77, what the fuck am I going to do?
Exactly.
Did that thought ever cross your mind?
Never, because I'd never had... So I think, and this leads me to probably another couple conversations. I feel like it comes down to it. I think mm-hmm. when you are going into... situations like this with the best intentions, you know, you're not looking to scam the system. You're just trying to see what's behind door number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally all I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of not placing a block in front of me, just going to see because that's what I felt I had to do. I felt that's what I was told to do. And I just answered the call. Wow. So when you ask me how long, you know, Kevin has always been a part of my life. I hadn't even understood that's what was happening.
You just thought it to be your intuition, your gut feeling?
And it is, right? Yeah. A lot of it. But when he's in, or pushing me, it feels different than my intuition. Or it feels like it's not an aha moment. It's not, it's like one of, it's something that kind of comes over me where it's like, no, like a nudge,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not me specifically, like that. ad comes up on TV and I feel a nudge, call. And I'm mm-hmm. like, why? I had no, in like, that's nothing. That's crazy. Call. I'm like, why? Well, now I understand, because that was my fucking house.
Right. So then let me tell you this. So I told you about this before, but a good friend of mine was like, you know, you got to talk to this woman. Like, she's a medium. She does all these things, but you're my person that I go to when I need any, like, spiritual advice or whatever it is. So, oh, you know, she's good with anxiety, blah, blah, blah. Just talk to her. Fine, I'll talk to her. Mm-hmm. And I told you the way that conversation happened was she sent me the Zoom information. I was like, I'll just have the conversation. She was like, who do you want to connect with today? And I was like, well, I don't really want to do any of that because, you know, that stuff freaks me the hell out. I'm not ready for it. Nope, don't tell me. Anyone is someone over my shoulder, don't tell me. I don't need to know.
Right.
And she was like, the letter L. Like, what is the letter L to you? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm already here thinking, like, damn, like, what is happening here? But she goes, Lucy.
Hmm.
And then as soon as she says that, I just start getting the chill. So I'm thinking in my head that, like, I'm just getting freaked out. And she's like, there's someone stepping forward for you, Lucy, your spirit guide.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, because when I listened to your episode one, and you told me this in passing too, when you're in the shower, just ask, mm-hmm. right? So I'd always ask, and I told you I'd hear some sort of woman, but I'd get freaked out. Exactly. And I'd stop.
Yes.
Because I like feel like something's happening, like, all of a sudden, the lights are going to go out. It gets windy. Some ghosts come up. Like, I would get scared.
Right.
So when she's telling me this, that I'm having that same feeling again. And she's saying all these things. And she's talking to me about what happened with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting into details, but you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn. Like, this shit is legit. Like, how does this... Like, I'm literally just here for, like, advice on, like, dealing with anxiety, and she's telling me all these things that, like, were family, quote-unquote, secrets or whatever it is.
Right.
So now I'm like, all right, I know I have a spirit guide, and I feel I'm recognizing, putting two and two together, that this is what I feel like when my spirit guide is around
when
me.
When they approach. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So for the next week, every morning, I would wake up, and I'd be like, good morning, Lucy. Lucy, and I wouldn't feel anything, and then I'd be like, Lucy! And then all of a sudden, I feel all those things, and I'll be like, I'm just making sure you're still here.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like, played around with it, but I don't get, like, the nudges to do things, or maybe I do, and I can't.
Exactly. Like I said, it took me a minute to even discern
what
that was and who it was.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. It takes some practice. And it also takes a level of accepting, mm-hmm. and acceptance. So I probably wouldn't say to any old person, like, get in the shower and ask for your spirit guide to, you know.
Probably look at you like, bitch, what?
Shut up. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, is there, you know, you probably need to be committed. There might be a bed with your name on it with straps, you know. Go find it.
Well, you know what it reminded me of?
What?
You know, like, as kids, when they say, like, oh, go in the mirror, say Bloody Mary 3 times.
Exactly.
I thought I was doing some shit like that. And I was like, this is not going to end well. Like,
exactly. So, I mean, I'm super excited that you have met your spirit guide. We have had this conversation before.
Mm-hmm.
And I have other friends and other soulmates who are waiting to meet theirs. So the fact that you have met yours is a huge win. Like, I can't even, like...
Woo!
You know, and I can just imagine what your life is going to do next, because mm-hmm. they are there literally just to help you along, just to help you along. Mm-hmm. And when you have that clarity and you get that, those pushes and those nudges, and then it becomes that conversation, good luck. Everything just gets much better. Don't be, but see, that's where the accepting part comes in.
Right.
Once you say okay to this, just like anything else.
Damn. So I guess for people in my similar situation, how do you recommend building that connection? How do you tap into that?
So I would say the more you get to know you, your limitations, you know, the things that stop you from being the best parts of you,
mm-hmm.
the things that, you know that you can cultivate within yourself to make you kind of reach your highest self, like those abilities, that connection with your spirit guide gets so much easier.
And how do you tap into your higher self? Like, what does that mean to someone who has no clue what that means?
Okay. So for me, it was just trying to get right with me. Mm-hmm. So learning to say no, right?
That's a big struggle, especially for me.
With women in general, right? Learning to say no, but not just no. Learning to say no and not having to explain my fucking self about my no.
Yes. You want to go to the park today? No. Like, why not? Because I don't want to. Exactly. Instead of, oh no, you know, I got to do X, Y, Z and then I got to go here. No, just say no.
Listen, the better you get to know you, your limits, the loving parts of you, the low parts of you, the easier those connections are being made. The easier you are set in like that space of like higher self, you know, mm-hmm. because you're really committed to you, your growth and your growth with others. It all comes down to like this very interesting idea of like self-love that mm-hmm. we misconstrue with self-care.
Right.
Right. Because self-love says that healthy boundaries are important. Mm-hmm. In relationships, mm-hmm. even work, even your with your kids, with your husband, healthy boundaries are important. Self-care says I need to go get my nails done today.
Right, kind of
totally fucking different, mm-hmm. right? Totally different. So I would say if I was trying to get into my higher self or the energy of that, it would be to first start with self-love mm-hmm. and what that looks like, and coming from a place of the abundance and the overflow of it. So when it's time for me to pour into others, mm-hmm. it's effortless. I'm not taking anything away from myself to give you more what you need and want, right? I'm mm-hmm. not, it doesn't feel like a fucking stretch. Right. It doesn't feel like I'm being like compromised, you know? It feels like, oh, here you go.
Right.
Take some more. You want some more? Because right. it's like, I'm so grounded in what is me spiritually, like, my soul is full, like it's healthy. You know, my thoughts are fucking healthy. And I only want the best for those who are around me. And mm-hmm. that's with everyone. And I can literally say that I can love you unconditionally, you know, because that's another thing. You can only meet someone else as deep as you have met yourself. Well, that's another conversation. We'll get into that later.
Well, you know what this reminded me of? Like, as you were saying all of that, I thought of Kanye West. Mm-hmm. And he has said something very interesting. He looks at his bipolar disorder as his superpower.
Okay.
So is it kind of that same concept where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm dealing with these things, but that's what makes me unique and great and mm-hmm. play onto those things?
Right.
Is that how it works?
I think I applaud him for looking at something that most people look at as a flaw or some type of a mistake, mm-hmm. you know, as a superpower, mm-hmm. right? Because that says to me that he understands very clear that it doesn't, disability mm-hmm. in some sort doesn't stop him.
Right.
It doesn't make him, it's just a part of him, but it's not who he is like in total. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a struggle and it's something that he has to work with, but it's a superpower. I'm going to empower myself to look at this thing that others look at like a limitation.
Right.
As a huge fucking win.
Right.
Because I know more about me than the average person does.
Right.
That's a fucking superpower.
Exactly.
It absolutely is. And I agree with him in that way. Now, you know, there's certain things that you need to put in place to keep it as a superpower.
Right.
You know? But I applaud that. And so I guess that is kind of what I'm saying. It's just important to understand that without you, people say things like, oh, if mama's not happy, then no one is happy, right? Mm-hmm. That idea. But women seem to believe that we need to compromise our happiness for everything and everyone else, right?
Why are we like this?
Why? Well, there's feminine and masculine energy are very two different. They're two different things, and we can discuss that more later. Yeah. But I mean, women are taught to take care of, nurture.
Right.
We are taught to bear children at some point, right? And men are the supporting. They are the ones who, well, men are the masculine energy. They don't have to compromise those things because they are the one that helps with stability.
Right.
And bills. These ideas of masculine and feminine energy. It doesn't have to be a woman or male, mm-hmm. male or female. It's just an energy that says that these things are prominent in you. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I would know for a fact that I have way more masculine energy than I have feminine, which is why I always have to be in balance, because if not,
interesting,
it makes my life a little bit more difficult.
Huh.
Definitely. And especially with the people that I call in to mm-hmm. be partners with, you know, they tend to be more on the feminine mm-hmm. spectrum.
Interesting.
Right. So if I'm out of balance, I will see that imbalance in my partner.
Okay. That makes sense. So then let me ask you this. So you talk a lot about being your higher self. That's really when you were able to kind of hear Kevin, think clearly, move with the right intentions. So how do you keep yourself in that space? Do you have like a, you talk about meditation. I was going to say medication.
Not quite. Not yet. Medication.
You talk about meditation, but uh-huh. like, do you have like a morning routine, like a ritual to keep you there? Like what is that? How does that look like for you?
So I do. It's something that I've done now for the past 4 years every day. So every morning my routine looks like this, right? I pretty much get up, and those who know me, they know how much of a lover of coffee I am, right? So I find that to be the most luxurious.
She has snuffed the shit out of my Keurig, y'all.
That is the most luxurious part of my day. And so how I feed my spirit is I will make the best cup of Nespresso coffee. If you haven't had it, you need to find an espresso machine. Get the fucking pods, bitch. Get in here. Because listen, Nespresso is a different situation, okay? So I understand that I need that. I need that to help me feel in line with my, you know, the pretty parts of me, okay? Right? So I'll get up in the morning. I turn on jazz music, something without lyrics, right? Okay. Something that does not have any, you know, notes. And it has notes, but not like voices or, mm-hmm. you know, lyrics, because that can get into your space. You know, you don't realize it, but it does. So jazz music. And then I ground myself before I put the coffee on, cleaning. So I literally, every morning I get up, I clean the kitchen, I'm sweeping, and in that time, I'm not even really thinking any thoughts. I'm mm-hmm. just being good with me mm-hmm. in that time. I'm being good with the fact that I'm making my space pretty, mm-hmm. clean, you
I'm
know?
I'm sure a lot of people can relate.
Right?
I'm always cleaning.
Hello? It just makes you feel really good.
Productive.
But I also find that that energy, because I start my day also very early at 5:30, 6 a.m., right. So most people would probably maybe take a yoga class or whatever, but I think
Who's taking a yoga class at 5:30 a.m.?
Someone is doing this, okay? But I find that I ground myself that much better when I'm just doing the things that I enjoy doing for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and now I'm getting all this clear thought. These thoughts are clear. So once I start feeling good about my day, about what's happening, I'm not really having any thoughts about the day, but I just feel good about the day. I will take that coffee and I will hop on my sofa and I will turn YouTube channel on to a fireplace with crackling.
Like the little, what is it called? ASMR?
Like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The crackling wood sound. And I will sit there and I will sip my coffee until I've got enough of myself that I can now journal. Journaling is a huge part of my day. Huge part. And when I don't journal, I feel a little crazy.
Really? So you wait to journal? Like, you don't just get up and start journaling?
No. So it depends. If I've had a dream that I feel like I need to catch the, you know, the parts, I don't want to forget these parts, because I do a lot of like manifesting in my mm-hmm. dreaming, you know? So I'll write down things that come up really quickly. It could be colors, numbers, and things like that I think stood out the most that I need to like remember. Mm-hmm. I'll do that. But mostly so that I can get good and set good, clear intentions and also have a really good idea about what I'm feeling, I need to wait until after I feel my energy is grounded to then journal. Because now those thoughts, those feelings, they're very, very clear. Mm-hmm. If I had a rough day yesterday, this morning, believe it or not, I will know exactly why.
Interesting. So you almost have to, so I think for me at least, when I'm hearing, okay, you need to start journaling, you need to do this, you need to do that, you have to do it all with the right intentions. Otherwise,
absolutely,
it can backfire.
Yeah, I mean, intention setting is another mad superpower, you know, manifesting, intention setting, you know, like really trying to be your best you mm-hmm. and knowing the tools to get you there, right? And those four things that I just said, journaling, intention setting, manifesting, you know, grounding yourself, you're meditating. Those are the things that help you become like that best part of you.
So what does your intention setting usually look like? So I used to go to Core Power Yoga all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to start off every class with set your intention for the next 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What was my intention? Oh, I'm trying to be fit for these 60. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I didn't think I was doing it the right way. And I think that goes with like manifesting too.
Mm-hmm.
People think, okay, I just have to speak as if I have those things. So you look in the mirror. I am beautiful. I am rich. I am powerful.
Mm.
I feel like people don't really know how to because there is a right and a wrong way to set intentions and manifest. So what's your take?
Well, okay. So I'm going to disagree with the right and wrong way. I don't think there's a right and wrong way. I just know what works.
See, that's the right way. I want to learn how to do that.
I just kind of know it works. I don't know what's right or wrong for you.
Okay.
I know it works for me.
So right? What works for you in
so
your experience?
So if I am thinking about setting an intention. Well, first of all, what is setting intention? Right? What does that mean? What does it mean to you? When someone says, hey, let's set an intention for X, Y, and Z.
Girl.
I think setting intentions for me is something that you have become very clear about attaining. Something that you want. Your result at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, you know, what those clear intentions are. So if my intentions are set clearly, then I don't have a problem with manifesting whatever that is.
Right.
Does that make sense? I feel like that was a riddle.
No, that kind of makes sense, right? Because I feel like, here's another thing. What's the difference? Let me let you finish first, because now I'm going to take us down a whole different route. Let me not get ahead
okay,
of myself.
So clear intention setting is and sounds like, and I think I do this in coaching with especially new, what do you want, coachees? I don't know what you call that.
Mentees.
Okay. Setting clear intentions are, well, it's asking yourself, you know, what do you want? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, most people are going to say what they don't want. So if I say to you, hey, what do you want in a relationship? Right? What do you look for in your relationship? The first thing that most people do is they start to think about what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where they've placed their emotion
mm-hmm.
onto. When really, if you really want to set a clear intention, you want to set an emotion on what you want, not what you don't want. Because
mm-hmm.
you doing that is only going to call towards you what you don't want.
Right.
So and that's how manifesting
uh-huh.
is a very interesting thing. So if someone were to ask me, what do I want in a relationship? Now that I'm single again, whoop, whoop. What does my next relationship look like? I would say I am setting the intention on calling towards me someone who is very familiar to me in my soul, like someone who can align with me and arrive standing next to me, not holding my bags.
That's deep.
Someone who loves himself as much as he could ever even try to love me.
Are y'all listening? Take notes.
Okay.
And start reciting this shit nightly.
Someone who is autonomous in a way. He is like, he knows exactly what he wants for himself, right? So when he meets a me, he can recognize that shit quick.
Damn.
And I want that in him, you know, and I want that for me and vice versa. I could sit here all day and say, I want him to be loving. I want him to be caring. I want him to be blah. I can say all those things. But what matters to me is that he has a spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, above all, that's where we need to meet.
Right.
So that we have that type of understanding. Now, with that, I'm going to assume that God, so a spirit, says that he's also honest.
Mm-hmm.
He's also committed.
Yep.
He's also. So I don't have to list those things because I want that big picture. You know, I found that in the past, I would minimize those things and say, I want somebody who just loves me for me. Well, what the fuck does that look like if I don't love
familiar.
Me for me? Right? Well, what
mm-hmm.
does that look like if I don't even love me for me? What am I then showing this person?
Exactly. Huh.
Right? So I think what's next for me in my dating or my next husband or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Yeah, because bitch is going to do it again. Mm-hmm. You know I am. It's mm-hmm. going to happen. he's dope as fuck. He is dope, dope, dope. And my quirkiness and my pushiness and my seeming sometimes too ambitious, but he gets it because he is one of the same.
I will say, and I've met him on a number of occasions at this point in mm-hmm. time. He's just so chill.
He really is.
Like, you walk up next to him and all of, like, your fears, your anxiety, your everything, it's just, it melts away.
Yep. And
it's amazing.
I'm going to say that it could just be because his ass is a Cancer, too. You know?
Yes.
That could be a thing. We just be in it. So, yeah, setting clear intentions so that you can call towards you and manifest really what you want by mm-hmm. literally just switching your emotions from the negative things to the positive things.
Okay. So how often, so if I want to manifest, how do I, what's the easiest way? Say if I've never done it before, what's the easiest way? Are we talking daily affirmations? Ooh. Are we talking like the rituals with the okay. new moons?
So I'm a person who definitely uses the moon to set intentions okay. and to call in.
Does that work for everyone or does it work predominantly because you're a Cancer?
Ooh, because we're ruled by the moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good questions. I think that it's a great practice that everyone should do in the moon energy because the moon is literally for that of that such thing, like that thing, period. It's for calling in and releasing.
Mm-hmm.
Calling in what's for you and releasing what no longer serves you. That's what the moon energy does. So we have the new moon and we have the full moon. And they both work very differently. So the full moon is about releasing. So as we get from day one of the new moon, you know, if you follow the moon energy or whatever period, even the shape of the moon will change mm-hmm. from day one to day 30 when, or 28 when you get your full moon or whatever the case is. At that point, it has sucked up all of these things and now it's at its fullest point, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the idea in my mind, mm-hmm. right? It has taken on this full shape because it is full of all of these things that you possibly were calling towards you.
Okay.
Now, in the full moon, once the full moon is full and it's full, 99.9 or whatever percent it is, now you get to release. Get to figure mm-hmm. out after you've called in all the stuff that you thought you wanted, now you have it.
Right.
What don't you need? What no longer serves you? Because you've learned also in that time. So from day one to day 30, or wherever the full moon is, you've learned something about calling in things that don't serve you. Or
right.
at least the attachment to things that you need to let go that you probably, you know, you should. But right. you shouldn't. But you didn't. Or whatever the case is. So I recommend definitely calling and manifesting it, you know, in the new moon. New moon is for calling in stuff that's new that you want.
And do you just recite that? Do you write that down? How do I do that?
So
you're talking there's to a so real many, beginner here.
There are rituals that are, that I definitely put in place for myself. So to call in things in a new moon and then to release and call in sometimes in a full moon. So rituals look like it could be you in a new moon energy. So the day of the new moon, let's say this month, the new moon is on the 13th, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I would light an intention candle. Shameless plug, but I make these great manifesting candles.
She sure does.
And they smell amazing. So I would definitely light an intention candle or I would take a bath because water is great, is a great way to actually like, it's so water contains energy
mm-hmm.
and it's just an amazing thing to use, right? So even if it's a cup of water on your mm-hmm. bedside table, you know, if it's a bath, you know, submerge in the bath, mm-hmm. you know, that type of idea. So I would either write my intentions down and I would either burn them in my intention candle. Mm-hmm. I would burn the, you know, the ashes, burn it to ashes because I'm calling it in. So it would say, in this new moon energy, I'm calling in X, Y, Z.
Okay.
Right? And these are the things that I'm asking for. This is what I want. And I could also do the same thing in a full moon. In this full moon energy, I am releasing, cutting the cord. So releasing could be people, places, and things. Like you no longer want to deal with a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your energy is being split between hundreds of other people that you've come in contact with and you've poured into, but now you need to cut the cords
mm-hmm.
of it so that you could have more energy for yourself. So cutting cords or releasing those people, I do those that as well in the full moon energy. So I'll write their names down, you know, what I'm trying to release as it speaks to that person. And then I would burn that as well. Sometimes I will burn it and put it into a cup of water. Sometimes I will get into the bathtub and take those ashes and put them in the water and bathe with it just to cut. I will tell you, I did that ceremony right before I asked my gonna be soon ex. We should be ex-husband and wife pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Before I asked him to leave. And I didn't even have to because it happened. Like, listen, very interesting, okay. But I did a cut-in ceremony and literally he was gone in, 3 days?
That's crazy.
Yep.
So how do you, in an instance, I'm sure a lot of people can relate, but what if you had, like, so many people have so many toxic relationships. So if someone is trying to do something similar with that, but the other person isn't on the same page, how do you do that in a way where you can actually get them to disappear, so to speak?
Well, I think all of these things, all these rituals it's more about you, okay, and not the person.
Okay.
Right? You're just getting good with you and what you want. And that's what your spirit guide, that's what your soul, your ancestors, the universe is really speaking to. It has nothing to do with the other person and what they want. It's always mm-hmm. only about you.
That's deep.
It is, right? So people think, oh, let me go work this candle magic on this person and do this sex energy or whatever they want to do, right? Because they're trying to get the person to do all of these different things. Well, unfortunately, that's not really how rituals and those type of things work, right? Mm-hmm. It's really the opposite. You need to focus on you. So I would say, by me focusing on the things that I wanted mm-hmm. and then doing a cutting of a cord ceremony to then allow me some release of the energy that I have had already walked into in respect to the marriage, mm-hmm. that's why it worked. Because it didn't matter if he wanted to stay or go. It wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
It only matters in that moment what you want, what you're calling in, because your focus should always be you. You can't really control other people.
Right.
You cannot. They're their own people. You know, mm-hmm. they make decisions, they are adults, you know, and so when you understand that, you know, none of that is in your control. You can only control you. Well, then now it's time to master you. It's time to master self, because that's the only way in that case, in this situation, was my out.
Damn.
My master deep. Of self. Yeah.
That is deep. Okay, so let me ask you one last question, because we don't got through all my questions, but now I'm getting nosy. So I think about this all the time. So we've kind of talked about this a little bit up to this point, but you have Kevin, you perform these rituals, you have your everyday routine, you meditate, you do all these things. When you're in a state of, like right now, in flux,
mm-hmm.
do you feel out of what? Like, do you ever, like when things are chaotic around you with everything that you have in, I'll call it your arsenal,
mm-hmm.
do you ever feel stuck, or do you always know how to navigate through? Because I think people would hear your story and think, oh, she knows everything. It doesn't matter. She'll get through everything. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or like someone in your back corner.
I totally get that.
So what would you say to that?
I will say that me personally, I don't really deal with the feeling of being stuck. Now, the only reason that is because if I ever feel like that, before Kevin, before any of this, I would just make a decision.
You move.
Because I move.
Mm-hmm.
I will move. I will make it's left, right, or straight, bitch. Choose. Left, right, or fucking straight, because clearly you need to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Your inability to make a decision here is why you feel stuck, right? Mm-hmm. So now with Kevin, with my spiritual journey, with my walk, what I realize that I do differently is that I'm willing to take risk. I'm willing to absolutely go on a fool's journey. So where most people would look at the circumstances and however surmountable they would be,
mm-hmm.
it was like, how is any of this going to add up? Like, how is this going to work? I don't ask the how, I just do it.
You just have faith.
I just have faith that it will work, and I will step through the door. And it looks crazy to people, believe me. I have made, even up to this motherfucking day, decisions to do things without knowing what the next day will look like, the tomorrow will look like, right? But I do it because I know that I'm being protected, and I know that it's always going to work out. The universe, God, source, however you choose to identify it, they are always conspiring to bring you what you want. they're always conspiring to put you on the path that is for you. If something shows up as a block, you need to make a left turn, you need to make a right turn, but mm-hmm. you need to figure it out. Blocks are not constant states. They're just for that second. So if I could impart any of my craziness to you, I would say whenever you feel stuck, choose. Left, right, or fucking straight, bitch. Choose. And it's not always about right or wrong. It's just about releasing the energy of being stuck. Sometimes it's literally just a feeling because you haven't made a decision.
Damn. That was deep. I feel like you need to do the whole like mic drop situation. You don't got a mic. Take that little tub of lotion. Drop it. There you go. Parting words.
I mean, it sounds simple, but it's not. So, I mean, I have children. I have a whole relationships. Right. I have a business. I have even up until this right now, a whole new job, right? So it's like...
So how do you move knowing you got all of them to worry about too?
Exactly. Because I also understand that what's for me is always going to be for me. Mm-hmm. It just is. And when I say that, I mean that...
Everything else will still be okay.
Everything else will be fine.
Yeah.
Everything else will be fine. There are some people that may think that, you know, you can't go on a spiritual journey with others, right? Because it's hard to do, because then you have to think about everyone else.
Right.
But ultimately, if you're constantly thinking about what the best next right move is for you, loving, you know, in this whole idea of being unconscious, but at the same time conscious to your surroundings and the people that are attached to you, because, you know, their life would be up. You know, an upheaval may happen based mm-hmm. on you and your moves and your decisions. You still need to do what's best for you.
Right. And I would assume, too, like, as you're calling in, as you're manifesting, those people are tied to you. Therefore, the outcomes are tied to them, too. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if it's always from your best place or your higher self or whatever your calling is, however that walk looks for you, it's the outcome is going to be grandiose. It's going to be bigger than what you expect.
I love that. So if you are dealing with fear, anxiety, and I'm sure everyone is dealing with some degree of anxiety mm-hmm. or fear at this point, how would you recommend they meet or they elevate themselves to their higher self? Tools would you recommend spiritually?
I think I've said this before, and it won't change. I think I will always say this, right? The best tool I can give you or impart is to ask yourself one question about any and every situation you can come up to. Any or every challenge you may face. Any and everything. It could be in your relationship. It could be at work. Whenever you run into these challenges or what feels like a stop or wall or pause or whatever, ask yourself one question. What is this here to show me about me? If you can ask that question of yourself and then find an answer, it makes your life so much easier. We are so used to casting blame and blaming others for our misjudgments or our choices. Mm-hmm. You know, you get so used to passing the buck that we miss perfect times that we can actually grow, mm-hmm. you know, in that moment. We just took accountability for some choices. Left, right, wrong, indifferent, whatever. Take accountability for that and then look at yourself from a lens of maybe trying to gain a different perspective, but mostly just about you. You know, what is this here? So if you meet someone in the, because I feel like I have to give an example of this, right? You meet someone in the grocery store and immediately this person, maybe they jump in front of you with the line. They okay. jump in front of you in the line and then they go up to the teller or the cashier and then they're checking out and you're standing like,
what the fuck?
Right, exactly, right? And so now you get into an altercation with this person because you're like, excuse me, ma'am, I know you fucking saw me standing here. Right. Right? You know, so, you know, you're not above these interactions because that's just people, mm-hmm. right? And how energy is transferred that way. But when I find myself like this, because I can get very testy, especially when it comes to customer service or the bad customer service mm-hmm. for that matter, I will walk away from the situation. Now, I'm not going to say every time I will back up because I probably won't. Because what I understand is that this is happening probably for them. Right. It's happening for me too. But at the same time, maybe this is happening for you because maybe you've done it before and now this is the time where someone actually will check your shit. So you met the right one, right? So what is this here to show me about me in this moment? How do I show up here? Because I feel like you're testing me.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly, you know, what this is. And so if I stop and I think, all right, what am I here to learn about myself here? Am I being impatient or am I in my ego right now? You know, what is it? What is it? And if I feel like at some point I'm asking myself that question and what I come back with is, oh, bitch, this is a lesson for you. Oh, I'm about to, oh, we in school. Mm-hmm. We definitely in school. Let's do this. Because this is definitely a lesson for you. You have met the right person today. And this is where it will end, right? Hopefully,
right.
Now you can be better.
Right.
You can be better. So I literally ask myself those questions all the time. Because I am challenged sometimes with those type of situations where, that was odd. Like, why would that even happen?
Right.
This morning, I was telling you a story about the young lady at the concierge desk. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling her about a package that I received. And she's like, yeah, it's not there. And I'm like, wait, bitch. Hold on now. I got this whole text saying that it's here. Mm-hmm. Is there a Daryl that works here? You know, that type of shit. And so I had to ask myself in that moment, okay, wait. Before you get crazy, because I always will get crazy in customer service. I hate bad customer service. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. You're here doing a job, right?
Right.
I'm just here
picking up
my shit, you know, and you're gonna tell me no, it ain't here. You didn't even check, bitch. Do you even know my name?
Right.
Okay, so here we go. What is this here to show me about me? And I'm looking at her and I'm like literally turning my head from, you ever say something to a dog or you call a dog's name, and they're like, you know, they like turn the head to the left. I'm like, okay, what is this here to show me about me real quick? Am I being frustrated because maybe I started my day a little funky?
Mm-hmm.
Could be, because I did start my day a little funky today. Mm. And here is a moment for me to impart a lesson. Let's go to school, bitch. What you should have did was ask me my name first. So let me do this real quick. I literally spun around in a circle and started again. Good morning.
If I could be a fly on that wall.
We're going to try this again because clearly one of us is off. And I've already proven to myself that, yeah, I could be the one that's off. But bitch, you off too. So let's do this again. I'm going to spin around the circle and we're going to try this one more time. And that's exactly what I spun around. I said, hey, good morning. I'm here to pick up a box that was delivered to me. So now you say, what's your name? Right. Now we on the same motherfucking page, bitch. Because
right.
Before I lose it, because you almost got me at, you know? So yeah, that is those things, right? See where you can grow. See where your challenges are. You know, meet them from a good place. Not a nasty place. I was just being maybe a little sarcastic,
mm-hmm.
but I was good. I was open to receive, you know. Maybe my box wasn't back there, even though my text said it was.
And it ended up being back there.
Of course it did. She went right back there and found that fucking box.
Oops.
And I said, thank you. Have a good fucking day. Have a great day. Okay?
Your face.
Have a great day, bitch, because I'm going to be back here tonight and we're going to see each other.
Yikes.
So I want you to know, have a great day. And I'm going that way. You good? Because I'm great. Okay. Done. And then but so again.
Right.
I think that we get those situations because she needed to understand that, look, you've jumped over a whole portion of your whole job.
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to ask me what my name was before you start telling me it ain't back here.
Right.
How do you even know? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Exactly. Okay. No. So, yeah, there you have it.
Though
it can be a little testy sometimes. We meet challenges, but we always want to approach them in a way that is, you know, kind of a betterment of ourselves. You know, at one point in time, I'm being very honest with you, I probably would have reached across that counter. Or hit her with a bag or something. You know, like, bitch, are you fucking crazy? You know, are you serious? If there have been times where, I mean, I would have showed up way different. So I see my growth in that, even though it was laced with sarcasm. I can't help it. I'm sarcastic as hell.
You asked the question. What is that here to show me?
What is that here to show me about me? That I'm sarcastic as fuck. And And we have a whole schooling right now. We about to go to class. So get ready. Get your pencil and pen. You got it? I'm ready. Let's go.
I feel like I've learned so much this past hour.
I am glad. This is my first hour episode, actually.
We could go, like, this convert, like, we could go on.
It could go on. You know, there's a function on here that you can take questions from your listeners.
From the audience?
Yes. So what I think we'll do for 6.5 is we'll take questions.
I love it.
About this episode. And it's actually only through Anchor. So, 57 is counting down. All right. Thank you for... Okay, guys, that's a wrap. We did it.
We did it. This was so fun.
How do you feel about it?
I loved it. I thought it would be weird talking to nobody for an hour, but there are people. Y'all are listening.
There are people that are listening.
I love it.
Which brings me to my next idea. What if we made this more of a personal conversation and started to take on... Right. Started to take on different questions about maybe even this... Maybe it should be its own segment.
I like it.
Right? And we can name it something. What will we name it?
Is there a way you can do like a Q&A, like a poll?
We can. So when we post this, I'm going to also include a link. And after you listen to this episode, go ahead and click the link and you could actually call in almost, if that makes any sense.
Ooh.
And you can ask a question and we will basically answer those questions on the next episode. What do you think?
I love that. Also, we need to name this series.
Yes, I think so too. So let's take a poll. On what the name of the... So
bring your ideas.
Bring it. I like the gag is.
Like, I like the gag.
I like that idea. But 73 questions with NIEs is also great. And the gag is, it's not 73 questions, right?
You know what the gag is sounds like?
What?
It reminds me of Victoria's Secret.
Does it?
Yeah. You know what the secret is?
What's the secret?
Victoria is a man.
Bitch.
That's the secret.
Get the fuck out of here.
I swear to God.
How did I not know that?
Yes. That's the gag. It's owned by a man.
The gag is. Well, hey.
Thoughts? I don't know.
Okay.
Send them in, people.
Send them in. So, we're going to end this episode here, randomly. And, so...
This was fun.
This was a lot of fun. No, thank you for coming.
Now I got my own segment.
I love it. All right, guys. Catch you on the 6.5 episode.
Woo-hoo.
Where we will continue, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.